I made a New Year's resolution. My resolution for this year is that I will not begin every sermon with a joke. There, I kept it. That one is easier than most, because once you don't begin one sermon with a joke, you're covered. But keeping resolutions, as we all know, is not easy, and each year at New Year's, there are articles about people making and keeping resolutions, or how long it takes to change your habits, or what it means to make a resolution, and so I've been thinking about this, and I realized something about promises and resolutions that I think the Jewish tradition realizes too, but in a different way. If I say, as an example, let's say I've graduated from law school and I say to myself, okay, my resolution is I'm going to give the law 10 years. And at the end of 10 years, if I want to change my career or I want to do something else or I want to give up the law, I will. But I resolve to give myself 10 years. And then 6 years into it, another opportunity comes along. What do I say? I say, I made a resolution. I promised I would stick to it. But you realize that in doing that, what you're saying is, I was wiser 6 years ago when I made this promise than I am now when I want to break it. In other words, when you make a resolution, what you say is, what I'm deciding now is smarter, wiser, better than what I will decide a year from now, or 2 years from now, or 6 months from now. Which is a very strange way of thinking about yourself. Most of the time, we assume we're going to get wiser later. So why do you bind yourself today to something that you know you're going to disagree with tomorrow? Because if you didn't think you were going to disagree with it, you don't have to make a resolution. I don't have to make a resolution to eat Trader Joe's peach salsa next year. I know I will. I don't need a resolution. But I might need a resolution to do something that I know I won't want to do 6 months from now, which is a very strange thing. Now, I understand that we make resolutions against things that are particularly bad habits. That is, you say, I promise I'm not going to smoke this year. Because you know that even if you pick up a cigarette in 6 months, part of you will know you shouldn't. You might make a rationalization and say one cigarette isn't going to hurt me, but you know that you are in fact committing to something that every day you will believe is better for you. But a lot of times we commit to things that later on we won't think are better, but you say, well, I gave my word. Which is just weird. And yet we do it. So if the resolution is to give you a running start, that is, I'm going to exercise this year, and because I say that I'm going to do it now, it will help me in 6 months when I don't want to, because I'll say I made a promise, then I understand. The running start I get. But the I'm wiser now than I'm going to be in a year, even though we do it all the time, it's a very strange way of conducting a life. And we do it, by the way, not only with ourselves, we do it with others. I promise you, when you need me, I will be there. But maybe when the other person needs you, you'll think, I don't want to be there right now. Why did I make this stupid promise when I didn't realize what it was going to mean? That's why the Jewish system is better. This, by the way, is the end of every sermon. You might think, but the Jewish system is better. First of all, we see this in operation this morning in our parsha. What does Pharaoh do? He says, I'm going to let you go. And then not 10 minutes goes by, he changes his mind. I promise you, Moses, you can go. And then he decides against it. So the Torah is aware of this consistent tendency. In fact, next week in B'Shalach, or this afternoon, if you're at Mincha, you will see that what happens is God says, I'm going to march the people this way because if I march them that way and they see the enemies of Israel in the desert, they're going to lose their resolve and go back to Egypt. So we know that promises don't always bind the human heart. And people think, oh, well, had I known then what I know now, I never would have promised, and therefore I'm taking it back. But here's why the Jewish system is better. For two reasons. The first is that on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you don't really make your own resolutions. The Machzor does it for you. It tells you what you're supposed to be in the next year. Because the Machzor is wiser than we are today or a year from now. So when it says, I'm going to try to avoid speaking badly about other people for the sin of Lashon, of speech, of Rithilut, of Lashon Hara, all the different varieties, the Machzor knows that no matter what we think, that's going to be a good thing a year from now, 5 years from now, 6 months from now, always. So instead of making our own resolution, Judaism supplies us with the resolutions that it knows are in fact wise, no matter our life experience. And then it does something else that was articulated beautifully, beautifully and movingly, astonishingly, this morning in the New York Times by, of all people, Mike Tyson, the former heavyweight champion of the world, who got in a lot of trouble. And I want to tell you, if you have not read his editorial this morning in the New York Times, I cannot encourage you enough to read it. It's eloquent and magnificent and moving and powerful. And this is what he says. He says, you know, I know that if I have the desire tomorrow to use drugs or to drink, I won't be able to help myself. I've had this experience too many times. I know this about me. The only thing that prevents me, that has made me sober for these past years, and has enabled me to reconstruct my life, is not by preventing myself from doing what I want to do, but by substituting something better. The deep desire I have to be a decent person, to be kind to my wife and children, that's the only thing that succeeds in keeping me from being the person I was. I'm telling you, you got to read it. It's really amazing. And that Judaism knows as well. That is, the way that you keep a negative resolution is by substituting something powerful and important and better. So you don't just say, I won't do this. You say, I won't do this because I wish to do or be that. Never just a negative clause. That's why, as rabbis are so fond of saying, Moses doesn't say to Pharaoh, let my people go. He says, let my people go that they may serve me. In other words, it's not just that you're giving them a negative, no more slavery, you're giving them a positive. They will now be servants of God. They're leaving Egypt to become something, not to stop being something. Because they can't be servants of God as long as they're servants of Pharaoh. And so the resolution that makes sense and that you can keep and that matters is, first of all, a resolution that speaks to your higher self, your better self, that transcends the moment, that will always be true. And the resolution that liberates you to do something with your life, with yourself, and with your soul that matters and that changes you. That's the Jewish system. That's what we do on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We say to ourselves, these are the resolutions that will make our lives better. So even though we're a little bit past the secular New Year, nobody says you can't make resolutions on January 4th or 5th or 10th. But when you do, think about whether this is coming from the highest part of yourself, whether you will know that tomorrow and next year. And think not only about what it encourages you to do, but who it will make you be. Yesterday, we put to rest a past president of Sinai Temple, Bill Friedland. And his daughter, in talking to me beforehand about her father in preparation for the eulogy, said, "He did good because he was good." That's a good resolution. To do good, to help us shape our souls so that we can be good. Happy New Year.